स्यादौ कूर्वन्गीतामृतं ददौ लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम बैक टू द भक्तिशास्त्री भगवद्गीता कोर्स। विल कंटिन्यू विद द थर्ड चैप्टर। वी हैव डिस्कस्ड इन द थर्ड चैप्टर द फर्स्ट टू सेक्शंस एंड नाउ वी आर गोइंग टू द थर्ड सेक्शन इन द थर्ड चैप्टर। So we are discussing essentially the aspect of the setting an example for others. So let's look at this chapter overview. So, we have discussed the section of practice karma yoga, because you are not qualified for jnana yoga. If you are not qualified for karma yoga also, then practice karma kand, which also involves doing one's duty. And now, 1724, we have discussed till 20. If you are qualified for jnana yoga, still practice karma yoga to set example for others. Loka sangraha meva api. So, Krishna turns around and gives, first he tells the principle that act in a detached way. Then he gives the example of Janaka and others. Now he gives the general principle of how those who are in leadership positions, they need to act exemplarily. Let's look at the verse. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tatta deveta rojanaha sayut pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So yad yad acharati. Acharati means to behave. Acharati, act. So, Sreshtha. Sreshtha is the great people, the leaders, the those who are influential in society, those who have position, those who are Sreshtha. Tattad eve itaro janaha. The other people act accordingly. Sayat pramanam kurute. And pramana refers to standard. You know, praman, we also have shabda praman, pratyaksha praman. So, these are standard ways of acquiring knowledge. So, authoritative way. So, whatever standard they said, sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So, general people anuvartate, they will follow that. So, here Krishna talks about the principle of how we cannot act in a isolated, self-obsessed, self-concerned way for our own good, even if it is for our spiritual good. We have to consider what is the effect on others. And we have to behave in an exemplary way accordingly. The caliber of a society can be judged by many ways, but one important way is by the caliber of its heroes. The kind of people that are considered ideal, exemplary, heroic, that shapes the character of the society. In India, say, even 50 years ago, the social and political leaders who were striving for independence and who were striving for social well-being, they were considered to be the heroes. So they were in many ways models, role models for people. And even if most of these political leaders were not spiritually minded in proper devotional sense, but still they were in many other ways exemplary. So, for example, Gandhi is considered to be the father of the nation, and he was given the title Mahatma. So he was considered to be a person who had simplicity. In many ways he was considered to be a person widely concerned about others. And he was a model for many people. So, when people have these kind of models, then they shape their behavior accordingly. And today we see, if we ask people, a general survey, who are their models? Actually, for most people, their models will be film stars, or they will be sports stars, or maybe some business magnates. And in the more immediate sense, they may say, okay, who is my model? Okay. This person who's got such a good career, who's got such a good salary, got such a good position. So if we look at the level of morals that people have, that itself has declined. That itself has not only declined, in some cases it has become distorted also. So, for example, if we look at entertainment, even the entertainment, say 50 years ago, was much more holistic. Now, in much of the entertainment, what people look forward to the most is sensuality, violence, sex and violence. So the hero is reduced to often a one-dimensional character who goes around beating others and enjoying with women. So if these are the kind of models that people find attractive, then that also indicates that their level of consciousness is declined. So similarly, it is not just in India, in the West also, in America, if we take back the clock for 100 to 100 200 years ago, then at the time of American independence and thereafter, in the formative years of that nation, actually the models were people who were in many ways exemplary. They were concerned for the society in general, and they were diligently working for that purpose according to their capacities. So when people have as their models those who are, if they are spiritually minded, that is the best. But if they're not spiritually minded, at least those people who are in goodness, who have concerns beyond the concerns of their own immediate gratification, then that those models elevate people. Otherwise, the models are such that that people become degraded. So in today's society, sin is considered fashionable. So for example, in Bollywood, the movie stars, with the females, they wear scanty clothes, and then the women in general, for them, in some ways, these become models, and then they also start wearing scanty clothes accordingly. And this modeling happens in subtle ways also. For example, in the movies, when there is vulgarity, when there is exposure of the body, and there is obscene language and imagery, so when some movie stars, especially females, do that, then they are called as, these are bold scenes. Actually, it's not boldness, it's shamelessness. So, but now when it is called bold, everybody wants to be bold. So, by a subtle way, by calling this as bold and glamorizing this, then people become attracted to this kind of dressing and this kind of living, which in many ways leads to disaster. So, actually speaking, this kind of, in the third chapter, Krishna will discuss towards the later part about lust and how lust is the worst enemy, Nitya Vairina, eternal enemy of the soul. But when this is called as bold, then it's only a step maybe in the future, 10, 15 years down the line. People who dress modestly, that kind of dress will be called as cowardly. So now it's not cowardly at all, it is intelligent. It is, so to be modest, to dress modestly is actually desirable. So this modeling happens at various levels. So what Krishna is telling over here is that there are certain people who act as natural leaders. So he says that for the child is the parents, the teacher, and then the king. They are natural leaders in society. The king, of course, is not only for children, because ultimately all of us were children at one time, and all of us have grown up. So these all create formative influences during our growing years. So where, to the extent these, the parents, the teachers, and the leaders, the kings, they set a good example, to that extent people will be molded accordingly. And if they don't set a good example, then people will be molded in a distorted way. So therefore, it is vitally important that those who are in positions of influence, they behave in an exemplary way for others. Now, this may lead to the question, what exactly is an exemplary behavior? Somebody may say that, actually, we want women's liberation, and therefore for a woman to dress whichever way she pleases, that is exemplary. See, when we talk about exemplary, there has to be some standard. We can't just have changing norms in society which will decide what is exemplary. We have to have a universal standard, And that universal standard comes from scripture. So therefore, from scripture we come to know what is the proper behavior. And then those who live according to scripture, they can influence others in an enormous way, in an enormously influential way. So therefore, it's important that scriptures be recognized as standard and the leaders in society live according to scripture. And we see this as power of good examples. In the case of George Harrison, Srila Prabhupada made George Harrison the Beatles, especially George Harrison was receptive among all the Beatles. And Prabhupada talked to all of them. Prabhupada quoted this very verse. This section comes in the Leela Amrit. And there, Srila Prabhupada explained that, "No, you are so well known. So you chant Hare Krishna and you tell about Krishna. And this is purifying, this will benefit people." So actually in the initial days when drugs were being introduced in the West, many people thought that drugs are the means to higher consciousness. So even George Harrison encouraged that in his early days. But later on, now George Harrison was from Britain and he was enormously influential all over the world, not just in Britain, in America, in Australia. So when he came to America, thousands and thousands of fans came to see him. So the American media called it like the second conquest of America by Britain. Britain earlier called conquered America, then they were driven away. But when George Harrison went to the places like New York and San Francisco, New York Lower East Side, or San Francisco Haight-Ashbury, especially New York, San Francisco Haight-Ashbury, there he saw what had happened because of drugs. You know, people were, the hippies had not become free. They had become more drug addicted. They were living dirty, bedraggled, destitute lives. And he felt guilty at that time. He had some sense of moral responsibility. And then when Srila Prabhupada encouraged him to chant Hare Krishna, then he did that. He wrote many songs in which he chanted. And the thousands of people, not just thousands, actually millions of people, were introduced to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra through the songs of George Harrison. So at one level, it was George Harrison, because practically his music was so popular, that especially in the first world, it went everywhere. And to some extent, even the second world and third world also, it went in many places. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in every town and village, my holy name will be chanted. To some extent, that happened when George Harrison's songs went to various parts of the world and they were recited over there. People heard the holy names through that. So the point which I'm making is thousands of devotees, thousands of people were introduced to Krishna consciousness and many of them became devotees also after that. So that seminal instruction by Srila Prabhupada set a good example for others. So chant Hare Krishna. So that had a tremendous influence on so many people's lives. So that is of course with respect to one's profession. But apart from one's profession, even one's personal life, how one lives is also important. So the power of example is far stronger than the example of power. The power of example means when people see somebody is living according to somebody is, if somebody is satisfied, truly peaceful and joyful in chanting Hare Krishna and practicing devotional service, then people around it see it. How is this person so peaceful, so joyful? I want to know about it. So the power of example is far greater than the example of power. Example of power means there are some fanatical religions which say that you have to follow what we are saying. Either you convert to our religion or we are going to kill you. We will send you to hell. So this example of power may lead to some forced conversions. But that is, the heart doesn't get converted by that. And even if people get converted, actually they don't become purified by that. But the power of example is such that it transforms thousands of people. Srila Prabhupada was one example. Srila Prabhupada, he was an old man. At practically the year 69, 70 when he went to America. And last 10 years he travelled tirelessly all over the world, sharing Krishna consciousness with so many people. And he had such a tremendous influence because of the example. Our devotees could see that. That Srila Prabhupada, although he was old, many of the hippies when they met him, they found that he seems to be younger and more energetic than us. Because Prabhupada, he, especially in the first years of his preaching, he had lived a very regulated life, and he was healthy. He had health issues occasionally, but he was healthy. He had so much energy. They could see that, oh, this is such an energetic person. So that itself, that at that old age, to see so much energy, that itself was amazing for most people. And beyond that, to see not just energy, but such a joy. There was wisdom in what Srila Prabhupada spoke, but along with that, Prabhupada radiated joy. So that joy which came from his love for Krishna, that attracted so many people. So now we may say, okay, leaders have to set an example. And then we can start talking, you know, our temple leader, he doesn't come in the morning, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do that. So this verse, we can use it to point fault with our leaders, or with our leaders. Oh, you are leaders, I meant to set examples, you are not setting examples. However, we have to understand that actually every person who has been given the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness is called upon to become a leader. In 7.3 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that among thousands of people, one endeavors about me. So somehow by Krishna's mercy, by devotee's grace, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have been given the opportunity for practicing Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, we have already been made into leaders. We may not have many followers, we may not have big influence, but we are already leaders. So setting an example is a responsibility of not just the leaders of the devotee community or leaders of the social world. It is example, it is a responsibility of every devotee. So yes, if some leaders are having some unexemplary behavior, then our behavior should be exemplary. You know, we should be models, not critics. What does it mean? Models means, yes, this is how we should be. So we can be proper in our sadhana, we can be enthusiastic in our services, and we can set examples properly. So the important point is for us to be exemplary. Let us be models, not critics. It is easier to be critics. Oh, this person is not behaving, this person is not behaving, this person is not behaving. Yes, we don't know what the reasons are why somebody is not behaving exemplarily. It is definitely, if somebody is not behaving exemplarily, that is uninspiring. But rather than being a critic, we can be a model. And we can try to behave in a way that sets a good example for others. So when this happens, then we, each of us, can become a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So this is what Krishna is calling upon. So in the context of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that Acharati Sreshtha. That Arjuna, act in such a way that you will be able to set an example for others. So you are going to set a standard. If you leave the battlefield and go away, other people, when they have difficulties, their duties present them with difficult situations, they will also say, oh, great person like Arjuna, he left the battlefield. He abandoned duty. Why should not I not abandon duty? So you will set a bad example for others. So please don't do that. Now Krishna will tell that, he will give one more example of a person who acts to set a good example. Yes. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam varta eva cha karmani. So name partha asti, o partha, there is not asti, na asti, it is not there, kartavyam, there is no prescribed duty for me. Trishu lokeshu kinchana, in all the three worlds there is no duty. Nana avapta vaptam avaptavyam, I am not in want of any of them, avaptavyam, so nor do I want to gain anything. So want means what we require, and gain means further what I want. Varta eva cha karmani, still I am engaged in my duty. So Krishna has not yet in the Bhagavad Gita revealed that he is God. Although he has revealed in 1 point, in 2.61, and he says, yukta asit matpara, fix your mind on me. So that indicates that he is not just a teacher, but he is the Supreme Lord. But that has not been explicitly stated. Now, in the general Indian culture, in the general Vedic culture, people know that Krishna is God. But here, in the flow of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has not revealed himself as God in the first person directly. But here he points towards that when he says, Name Parthasti Kartam, there is no duty for me. Now, why is there no duty for him? Because he is the Supreme Lord. He is not subordinate to anyone. So, in fact, there is a well-known Upanishadic verse, which Prabhupada quotes in the purport here. So, it's a long verse. Let's look at the verse here. This is from the Upanishads. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6, 7, 8. Tamishvaranam paramam maheshwaram tam devatanam paramam chidaivatam patim patinam paramam parastad vidamadevam bhuvane shamidyam. So, tam ishvaranam paramam maheshwaram. There are many ishvaras, but among them you are the supreme maheshwar. Tam devatanam paramam chidaivatam. Among the various devatas, you are the supreme devata. Patim patinam paramam parastad. So, there are many masters, but he is the supreme master. Pati can mean master, pati can mean husband. Vidamadevam bhuvanesha midyam. So, bhuvanesha. So, he is the lord of all places. And then, the important point. So, this is talking about the position of the lord. Now, related to our point. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. That person has no prescribed duty. Natat samascha abhyadikaschidat dushyate. There is no higher authority equal to him or above him who will tell him, do this, don't do this. He is the Supreme Lord. And when he does not have any duty, but when he says that God is the controller and not even a blade of grass moves without God's sanction, so God is the ultimate cause of all causes, then how does all this thing happen? If God does not have any duty, then how do all these things happen? That's explained in the next part. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Svabhavaki jnana bala kriyacha. So, parasya shakti, that absolute truth has many, many energies. Vividaiva shruyate. Parasya. There's many energies. And just like, say, now, if a person is a very wealthy business person, then that person can just press some buttons and whatever he wants. Okay, transfer this money from here to there. Start this business. Sell this business. Purchase that. Whatever he wants, just press some buttons and that will happen. So press buttons like that. So, parasya shakti vividhai vishruyate. So, like that, the Lord, he just desires. He doesn't even, at least in this world, with the tycoons have to press buttons. Krishna doesn't even have to do that. Krishna just desires and things happens. He is called a sakti sankalpa. He desires and things happens. Things happen. So, vividhai vishruyate. And svabhavaki jnana balakriyacha. So, how does he acquire knowledge of everything? So, there are three aspects talked about. Jnana, Bala and Kriya. So, Jnana is knowledge. Bala is the capacity for action. And Kriya is the action. So, for him, all these are Swabhaviki. Swabhaviki means it happens naturally. So, for example, now you are looking at me and I am looking at you. When we are looking at each other, then naturally we see each other. So now, if you notice that some fly has come and sat on your thigh, then your hand moves there automatically, and then we move away the fly. So like that, if there is a scratch, we just gently, if there is an itch, we scratch the itch. So here, Krishna is talking about the subconsciously things happen. At a subconscious level, things happen. And when they happen at a subconscious level, for us also, I'm giving an example. We may not even be consciously aware, okay, the fly has come and something is happening. We are conscious elsewhere, but we also move the hand away. So that way, we can move forward and understand that actually, Krishna, for him, everything happens automatically. He doesn't have to struggle in any way to do anything. Just things automatically. So let's move forward. So the point is, Krishna doesn't have any duty, still he is doing his duty. And now Krishna turns around Arjuna's fourth argument about Varanasankara here. So, let's look at this verse, then we look at the argument. Yadiyam na varteyam jatu karmanya tandritaha mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. Yadiyam na varteyam, if I was not engaged, aham na varteyam jatu karmanya atandritaha. Atandritaha means with great attention. If I had not been engaged in my karma with great attention, then what would have happened? Mama vartamano vartante. Others would have acted similarly. Mama vartamano vartante. Manushyaha partha sarvashaha. That all living beings would have also acted similarly. Now this was the same line, 3 and 4. The 323 C and D will again come in a more famous verse, 4.11. There also 4.11 C and D is Mama Vartamanu Vartante Manushya Partha Sarvashaha. But the meaning here is different. There we'll discuss what the meaning is. Here what Krishna is saying is Mama Vartma means my path, Manushya Partha Sarvashaha. All living beings will follow. That means if I don't engage in duty attentively, Dhyamna Varteyam, then what will happen? Everybody will act accordingly. And when everybody acts accordingly, then that will lead to disruption. So Atandritaha means very attentively Krishna engaged in his duties. So, in the 69th, 70th, 71st chapters in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of Krishna acting in householder life. Of course, it's distributed throughout the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, but especially these chapters, it's talked about. And Narad Muni comes to see Krishna's opulence. And then he sees in various palaces, Krishna is engaged in various duties. So he says that, for example, somewhere Krishna is arranging for the marriage of his daughters, somewhere he is arranging for the marriage of his sons and is welcoming brides, other places he is in the palace Krishna is welcoming visitors and attending to their needs. He is listening and sorting out the grievances of some citizens. In some places he is welcoming brahmanas. Other places he is giving charity. So, in each of the palaces, Krishna is doing duty responsibly. Now, Jiva Goswami makes a very interesting observation in this section in the Sandarbhas. So, actually, Krishna says basically that the Bhagavatam says how Krishna's opulence is that Krishna was simultaneously present in all these places. Narad Muni, he has the capacity to fly. So you can just quickly go from one palace to another. So it was not that Krishna was in this palace and before Narad Muni could reach there, Krishna was running to that palace. There was no race between Narad Muni and Krishna over there. Krishna was simultaneously there. But so this is Krishna's opulence that he pervades space. But the significant point that Jiva Goswami mentions is that actually Krishna was present in different palaces, and actually when Narad Muni went, the timings were different in different palaces. In some palace it was morning and Krishna was doing morning ablutions or morning meditation. In some other palace it was afternoon and Krishna was taking lunch. In some other palace it was evening and he was with his family members. In some other palaces it was daytime where Krishna was doing managerial administrative duties. So like that, the time also was different in different places. What this indicates is that Krishna not only controls space, but Krishna also controls time. Krishna pervades time, and therefore he can manifest at whatever time he wants, as per his will. So anyway, with respect to our discussion is, Krishna, although he can do anything and everything, he can be anywhere and everywhere, anytime and every time, still what Krishna does is, Atandritaha, he is attentively doing his duties. And that's how he sets an example for others. Now, someone may say, but Krishna, what duties did he do? Especially when he was Vrindavan, he was stealing butter. So, is stealing butter exemplary? Do we want all the children in the world to start stealing butter? Do we want, Krishna dance with the gopis? So, from the external point of view, the gopis are other men's wives. So, why was Krishna doing such a thing? Is that what we want Krishna to do? How is that example? So, there are several points to understand in this. That Vrindavan is the abode of love. And when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he did not take up any public leadership position. He was just a small child. And when he became an administrator, when he became a part of public, officially, publicly, of the Yadu dynasty. And then he started taking an active role in protecting them and in safeguarding their interests. So then from that time, Krishna was Atandritaha. So what happens in Vrindavan is at that time Krishna had not taken a leadership position. Another point to understand is in Vrindavan, it's Vrindavan is a transcendental abode. So there is no need for setting an example. There it's simply the example of pure love. And the example of pure love is whatever will increase and intensify the love in the hearts of his devotees, Krishna does that. So that's what Krishna will do in Vrindavan. So there is the role of dharma, and there is the arena, the realm, the arena of dharma, and there is the arena of prema. So when Krishna is acting in Mathura, in Dwarka, in Hastinapur, he is in the arena of dharma. And there he sets an example. In Vrindavan, there is the arena of prema. There is also an example. The Vrajvasis, in fact, are examples for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, in fact, for all Vaishnavas, about how one should be absorbed in Krishna constantly. So that is also an example of a different kind in Vrindavan. But with respect to, here Krishna is talking about social responsibility. So social responsibility means that Krishna is saying that you have to act in a way that will benefit others and not harm others. Krishna is saying, I am also doing that. Now Krishna will say in the next verse, what will happen? What would happen if he did not act in this way? So all people will follow my path. So what is follow my path means? What exactly will happen? Utsideyurime loka nakuryat karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyamima praja. So utsideyur means disrupted, put to ruin. Ime loka, all these worlds, all these people. Nakuryan karma chedaham, if I did not perform my karma, my duty. Sankarasya chakartasyam. Sankarasya chakarta. So Varana Sankara was Arjuna's concern in the first chapter. So I will become the creator of unwanted progeny. Upahanyam ima praja. And in this way, all the living entities will be destroyed. So here Krishna is gravely pointing out that actually if I did not act responsibly, other people will get justification for not acting responsibly. And when they act, if everybody starts acting irresponsibly, society will crumble. For example, now, why is he especially talking about Sankara? Sankara sacha karta, some disruption of society. Kshatriyas are to set the example of chivalry and protection. So if Kshatriyas themselves become neglectful, Kshatriyas become irresponsible, and Kshatriyas don't protect the citizens, then who will? And if nobody protects the citizens will become exploited. And if citizens are exploited, what will happen? There will be devastation in society. So therefore, it is a very important responsibility of the Kshatriyas to act exemplarily by protecting Dharma and protecting the Dharmic people. So he's saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have to set this example. If you don't do that, then unrighteousness will prevail. When unrighteousness will prevail, then ungodly people, demoniac people will take power, and they will exploit society, they will exploit women. That will lead to unwanted progeny, and the future generations will be disastrous. So in this way, it is our responsibility to act competently, act in an exemplary way. Now here the question may come up that Krishna is himself, sometimes it seems that he doesn't act exemplarily. So one example I give is butter stealing. So that, and similarly, he performed Raslila, say. So now one point I said is that at that time Krishna was not in the position of leadership, and that the second point I said is that is the arena of love. Prabhupada makes another point in the purport that those who are great people, we cannot imitate them. You know, we can admire them. They have powers which we don't have. And Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavatam here. Let us look at the verse. So this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33, 30:31. These are among the last verses of the Rasa Panchadhyaya. Rasa Panchadhyaya is from 29th chapter to 33rd chapter. And soon after this comes the famous verse about how hearing about Rasa will purify. So before that, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question. You know, how could Krishna have performed this Rasa Leela, danced with other women's wives at night? So then Arjuna, here Shukadeva Goswami answers. And he used examples also. Naitat samachare jatu manasapi anishwara vinashyatya charan maudhyan यथारूढ़ोऽब्धिजम् अविशम् ईश्वराणां वचः सत्यं तथैव आचरितं क्वचित् तेषां यत् स्ववचो युक्तं बुद्धिमांस्तं समाचरेत्। सो नैतत् समाचरे जातु, समाचर जातु मीन्स् वन् शुड् नाट् सम आचार, वन् शुड् नाट् आक्ट् लैक् देम्। जातु मीन्स् सर्टन्ली मनसा अपि, इवन् इन् द मैण्ड्, ये अनीश्वरः, अनीश्वरः मीन्स् दोस् हू आर् नाट् ईश्वरस्। So those who are not Ishwara should not act like the Ishwaras, even in their mind. Why? Vinashyati acharan maudhyad. If we act like that, vinashyati, they'll be destroyed. Acharan maudhyad. Maudhya means foolish. They'll be destroyed by such action. And the example is, yatha rudro abdijam visham. Rudra is Lord Shiva. Abdijam, abdijam is born from the milk ocean. What was born from the ocean, Abdi's ocean? Visham. So we know in the churning of the milk ocean, a devastating disaster took place when an extremely deadly poison came about. And what did Lord Shiva do? Lord Shiva, at the request of all the devatas, under the guidance of Lord Vishnu, he took the permission of his consort, Durga Devi, and he drank that poison. So when he drank that poison, it went up to his tongue, it went to his throat and straight there. And that's why Lord Shiva is sometimes known as Neelakanta or Kalakanta. His throat became bluish black. So Neelakanta is one with a blue throat and Kalakanta is one with a black throat. So now, that poison had no power to go down. Lord Shiva was so powerful. Now, if we drink something, we can't control it. You know, it will go down the tongue and it goes down and then we will go down. Tuck! After that. So therefore, Vinashyatya Charan Maudhyat. You see, the Mudhas imitate a person like Lord Shiva. Vinashyati, there will be destruction. Now, our Acharya describe that Lord Shiva was not concerned about dying. Even when, why did the poison stop over there? Why did he not let the poison go down? Even if the poison had gone down, he would not have been affected. But he checked the poison because he is a Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He is the topmost of all devotees. And he was thinking that my beloved Lord is in my heart. So if the poison goes down the throat through the alimentary canal, then actually my Lord who is in the heart, he will be inconvenienced. It will go too close to him. And I don't want the poison to go too close to him. I don't want to disturb him. I want him to be present happily in my heart and to be happy accepting my devotional service over there. That's why, in order to not inconvenience the Lord, he kept the poison in his throat itself. So this is Lord Shiva. He has that power. Now, if we drink poison like that, then we will get ourselves in trouble. Same applies with bhang also. It is said Lord Shiva drank poison, so his followers drink bhang. They can't drink poison, but they drink bhang. And they say, Lord Shiva also used to drink bhang. But then bhang is an intoxicant. It's tamasic. And doing what the Lord has done, doing what a great personality like Lord Shiva has done, without having that authority, that will simply lead to degradation. So, Ishwaranam vachah satyam. We should understand that the words of the Ishwara are true. And tathaiva acharitam kachit. So, how should we act? Tathaiva acharitam, according to their words. So that means that when the Lord or the great personalities, they come to this world, at that time their actions are in two phases. One are those which are to set an example, and the other are those which are set to demonstrate their position. That both are important purposes. One is to set an example. So, for example, Lord Ram, he dutifully, he was a Maryada Purushottam. So, he did whatever as a king, as a son, as a husband. He acted in an exemplary way. So that is what is he doing by that? He is actually practicing the principle of setting an example. At the same time, there are other situations, when other incarnations, their focus may not be on setting an example. Their focus is on demonstrating their position. So when Krishna displays the Virat Rupa, you know, that is not an example. He says, whenever there is anybody is in doubt, I will show my Virat Rupa. But I don't have any Virat Rupa. How can I show? Only Krishna has Virat Rupa. So when Mother Yashoda asked Krishna to open the mouth, he shows the whole universe within his mouth. So we can't do all these things. So there are certain pastimes of Krishna which are simply meant to demonstrate his transcendental position, his supreme position. And those pastimes have to be understood as such, that they are meant to demonstrate his supremacy, not to be imitated. So Krishna's Raslila is also like that. And Shukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavad, in the same section, that actually when we practice, when the violation of the laws by the great people, by the supreme, demonstrates his superiority to those laws. What is he saying? There are laws which are meant for all of us, and it's important for us to follow the laws. Now, the supreme is supreme means that the supreme is superior even to the laws. The supreme is superior to the laws, and that's how the supreme is supreme. If the supreme had to be subordinate to the laws, then the supreme would not be supreme. The laws would be supreme. So that is not the correct understanding of the Vedic teachings. That is a deviant understanding called Karma Mimamsa, which says the laws are supreme. But actually the Supreme Lord is supreme. So now when we act, why do we need laws? Because we are not always motivated by love. We are motivated by selfish desires. And that's why there are laws. You should do this, you should not do this. We cannot just take money from anywhere, anytime. We may want to do that, but there are regulations, there's law. But when it comes to Krishna, you know, he doesn't have any selfish desires. He's simply pure, he's simply transcendental, he's simply all-loving, all-merciful. So whatever he does is for the supreme good of everyone. And when he's acting thus for the supreme good of everyone, he doesn't need any laws to regulate his lower self, because he has no lower self. We need laws to regulate our lower self. Krishna doesn't. So Krishna acts purely out of love and care and the desire for the supreme well-being of everyone. So when he seems to violate the laws, that is simply out of love. And he wants to demonstrate love-filled pastimes. And when he acts in this way, we have to understand that this kind of actions demonstrate his supremacy, demonstrate how he is in a position greater than the position of the laws. He is truly supreme. So then, now we all know that if Krishna, somebody says, I want to meet Ras Leela, Prabhupada would say first, you know, he met Govardhan Leela. When Krishna was 7, he lifted Govardhan. Then at 8, he performed Ras Leela. So first, lift Govardhan. We can't do that, then we should not perform Ras Leela also. Now Krishna will talk about, he has finished set the section of setting an example. Now he will talk about how we need to understand the difference between Karma Kanda and Karma Yoga. So for example, now Arjuna may say, okay, you are saying I should set an example, but if I get bound, if I get sinful reactions, then what is the use of it all? Yes, I agree with the point that if I do not give up my duty, then that will lead to harm. I'll be setting a bad example, and utsideyo reme loka, the lokas will be disrupted. So that doesn't solve my problem, because I will still get bound. So how do I avoid bondage? That he will describe in the next verse here. So sakta karmani vidvamso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvams tha saktas chikirshur loka sangraham sakta karmani avidvamso. Saptaha is attached, and avidvamso is one who is not vidvam. Saptaha karmani avidvamso. So there are two characters of these people. They are ignorant and they are attached. Yatha kurvanti bharata. So as the ignorant and attached act, kuryat vidvams tatha asaktas. So even the vidvam is opposite to avidvams. Even those who are learned, those who are wise, and they are asaktas, thasaktas. Even they should act like that. Why? Chikirshur loka sangraham. Loka sangraham means for the purpose of setting an example for others. So as the ignorant and attached act, similarly the wise and the detached should act for the set purpose of setting an example for others. Chikirshur loka sangraham. So now here, what does it mean? Krishna is telling Arjuna, yes, there may be people who are acting in who do not know, but you should know. So what is this referring to? The ignorant and attached are referring to the karmakandis, and the detached and knowledgeable, they are referring to the karma yogis. That's referring to karma yogis. So externally, the karmakandis and karma yogis both act in the same way. The karmakandis are doing their prescribed duties, the karma yogis are doing their prescribed duties. The karmakandis are thinking about heaven and material enjoyment, the karma yogis are talking about liberation and return back to the Supreme Lord. So there is a consciousness is different. So one is sakta, the other is asakta. Although there is this different, but still both of them are acting for the same purpose. That purpose is to become liberated. It is to become elevated. It is to go back to Godhead. So with that purpose in mind, when a person acts, then that person never gets bound to material in material existence. That person keeps marching forward and returning back to the absolute truth eventually. So Krishna is saying that live in the world and set an example for others. Yes, there may be others who may be acting attached, but how will they ever become detached? You know, they need an example which is accessible for them, which is available for them. Only then they will be able to practice spiritual life. Even if you see, we look at the history of our movement, we will see that it has passed through phases. In the early days of our movement, becoming a devotee meant just joining the temple. So people would just join the temple, so men, women, everybody would join. And then even when people would become grahasthas, they would still stay in the temple itself. And they would be even distributing books, and they would financially also, they're getting whatever required from the temple. And they were living like that. So at that time, practicing devotional life essentially meant, becoming Hare Krishna meant, practically dropping out of society. And just joining the temple full time. And living like that. Now as the movement has expanded, the congregation has developed, and now ISKCON is primarily a congregation-based movement. And that is very important, because the renounced order has its very important place also. But for most people, if they want a realistic example of how one can be spiritual while being in the material world, that example will not come from the sadhus, that will not come from the brahmacharis and sannyasis. That example has to come from the grahasthas. So when the grahastha set a proper example, then the general people say, yes, all that is being talked about is not impractical. It is not hypothetical. It is something which is real, which can be done. So it's important for devotees to recognize the very important role that grahasthas are playing. Sometimes there is a whole conflict in brahmacharis thing that, oh, we are superior and then grahasthas are inferior. Actually, it's not a matter of superior and inferior. It's like two brigades in the same army. And both of them are ultimately in the army of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and they're trying to fulfill Krishna's mission. So in the history of our movement also, we see at one particular time, and there was a conflict between brahmacharis and grahasthas, and that brahmacharis, sannyasis and grahasthas, and it came to a head in 1976 in Mayapur. And then Prabhupada very strongly made the point that yehi Krishna tattva vetta sehi guru hai. That one who knows about Krishna, one who is devoted to Krishna, that person is an advanced devotee. We cannot just label certain ashrams as lower or label certain ashrams as higher. So actually, now both the brahmacharis and the grahasthas have important roles to play. The brahmacharis and sannyasis, they play the role of showing an example of being totally devoted to God and of being disconnected from the world. So that means, so by that they say this vertical relationship is actually real. We get real happiness. That it brings real meaning, real fulfillment in life. And what happens by that is, the tangibility and this gravity of spiritual life becomes very evident when we see people who are totally devoted to God. So if you consider a pyramid, then there are pyramids, there are multiple levels. So the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they demonstrate the focus on the vertical connection. Then the grahasthas, they have the horizontal as well as the vertical. And then they set an example for the broader society who have only horizontal connections and they have no vertical connections. So it's like a progression. And everybody plays an important role. So if there are only grahasthas and there are no brahmachari sannyasis, then there also the problem comes up that people always keep feeling that spiritual life is just meant to be a part-time life. Yes, it's something which you do in a part of all. One of the things that Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness is characterized by the point that actually bhakti is not a part of our life. Bhakti is our life. In fact, we discussed earlier how life is a part of bhakti. Now, bhakti is something which goes on over many lifetimes. So bhakti is our life. And bhakti is our life for brahmacharis, for grihasthas, for everyone. Different members of the varnashram contribute different, important and irreplaceable roles. Irreplaceable roles. Every single varna is important. Every single ashram is important. So here Krishna is telling that be in the world and set an example for others. So now Krishna will tell about, after talking about this, he will say that you should not disturb the minds of others. Nabuddhivedam janayed agyanam karma sanginam joshayed sarva karmani vidman yukta samacharan. So nabuddhivedam janayed. Don't disturb the mind of others. Buddhi bheda means disturb the mind. Buddhi is intelligence or mind. So buddhi means intelligence. Don't disturb the intelligence of others. Na buddhi bhedam janayet. Janayet means to give birth to cause. Agyanam karma sanginam. So same point, the previous was saktaha avidvams. So here it is karma sanghi, that is saktaha, and avidvams is agyanam. So those who are ignorant and those who are attached, don't disturb their minds. What should you do? Joshayet sarva karmani. Joshayet is what Prabhupada translates this as dovetail, and this is a word which Prabhupada would often use in his presentation. We can dovetail things in Krishna's service. Joshayet sarva karmani. All work. Vidwan yuktaha samacharan. A learned person can do that while being engaged in devotional service. So the whole principle of bhakti is centered on this point. This point of vidvan yukta samacharan. Act in a way, joshayet sarva karmani. The wise person should be acting and should be setting an example for others how to dovetail various activities in devotional service. So actually Srila Prabhupada was very resourceful. You engage different devotees with different talents according to their talents in the service of Krishna. So he had artists and they were asked to paint the pen. They were asked to make pictures for his books and pictures for the temples. He had devotees who were good at cooking and they were asked to cook. He had devotees who were intellectually inclined, they were asked to write. So all of us have been given some talents, and the perfection of those talents is to use them in Krishna's service. We don't have to tell the world that all these talents are useless, everything is material, just reject it. No. We have to focus on utilizing things in Krishna's service. And in fact, this is a theme which will come again and again in the Gita. Joshayet sarva karmani. Dovetail things in devotional service. So, by dovetailing, people will gradually become elevated. So, the ultimate purpose of all the Vedic rituals is to bring people to Krishna. Now, those who cannot come directly to Krishna, they should be gradually brought to Krishna. So, here Krishna is acknowledging to Arjuna, yes, even if you say that the renounced order is higher than the householder order, that means giving up action is higher than in action, acting in the world, but still, he said that for the people in the world, if we just see responsible people giving that up, giving up their actions, then that will disturb their minds. See, that means now Krishna is talking about another point over here. See, earlier he was saying that you should set a good example for others. And if you don't set a good example, if you set a bad example, that will lead to problems. Because people will act inappropriately. But somebody may argue that actually I am not setting a bad example. I am setting an example of a higher principle. I am not renouncing out of irresponsibility. I am renouncing out of an understanding of higher responsibility. So when somebody makes this point, I am renouncing out of compassion. I am not renouncing out of frustration. So I am responding with a sense of higher responsibility. Renouncing. I say people will not understand this. So therefore, even if you have a sense of higher responsibility, you have to do it in such a way that people will be able to take it. People will be able to understand it. If people misunderstand, then their mind will get disturbed. And then they will have no scope left for further elevation in their spiritual life. Therefore, set a good example for others. And engage them, encourage them according to their level to practice devotional service. So whatever is their level, according to their level, encourage them to practice devotional service by setting a good example. So here Krishna is talking about difference between Karma Yoga and Karma Kanda, and the Krishna mentions several times the Jnani and the Ajnani, the Vidvams and Avidvams. So in the next verse, Krishna will tell what is it the vision of the Avidvam and what is the vision of the Vidvam. That we'll discuss in the next class. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Thai Gaura Prem. Thank you.